Mark 2 and 1. Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached, this is Jesus, he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit, they reasoned this within themselves. He said, Why reason you these things in your heart? Whether it's easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. For just a little while today, I want to speak to you on the thought, His presence makes the difference. His presence makes the difference. Father, thank you again for this service. It is a divine appointment. I don't believe anyone is here by accident. And I certainly don't believe that you gave me this word by accident. And so I ask for the quickening of the Holy Spirit, the direction of the Holy Spirit. We ask that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying unto your church, Lord. And we give you the praise for it, and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this portion of scripture that I'm reading, the Bible says, and he, speaking of Jesus, entered in again to Capernaum after some days. So if Jesus has entered again into Capernaum, that means that he's been there before. So if he's been there before, I want to go back a moment and look at what transpired on the occasion that he was there before. So you don't have to go very far. Back to Mark chapter 1, verse 21, it says, And they went into Capernaum, Jesus and his disciples. Straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue, and he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold your peace and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So in this portion of scripture, Jesus demonstrated his power, his authority over the kingdom of darkness when he cast out the evil spirit. Then his fame, the Bible says, it spread abroad. Then what was the result of that? Verse 32, it says, And at evening, that when the sun was set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and he cast out many devils, and he suffered them not to speak because they knew him. Then you come to verse 41, and he heals the leper. The leper comes to him saying, I know that if you will, you can make me whole. You can heal me. Jesus said, I will. Put forth his hand, touched him, and he was immediately made whole. So on this last trip that Jesus came through Capernaum, he cleansed the temple, he healed the sick, he cast out devils. That means he ministered to the people, he met the needs of the people, he blessed the people in Capernaum. But now he's in Capernaum again, and there are needs present, and there are problems in the same place, in Capernaum. That tells me you're always going to need Jesus. Hallelujah. You're always going to need Jesus. Yesterday, you may have got everything all fixed up. All your needs were met. But it's a new day, my friend. And like the song says, I need him more today than I did yesterday. Every day I need Jesus. Yeah, he fixed me up a few days ago. But I'm just a human person. And sometimes I get broken. And I need him to touch me again. Touch me again, Lord. Hallelujah. He entered again into Capernaum. Now that is interesting to me because Capernaum means village of comfort. That's interesting because in the place known as the village of comfort, there was all kinds of problems. I just read it to you. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. He cleansed lepers. He cleansed the temple. There were all kinds of problems in the village of comfort. There were people that were sick, they were afflicted, they were depressed, they were oppressed, they were possessed. And it reminds me of the United States. Because we have the reputation of a place of comfort, the place where dreams come true, the place where anything can happen. You can start at the bottom and you can work your way to the top. But like Capernaum, we might have the name, we might have the reputation, but the truth is there's a whole lot of devil in America. There's a whole lot of mess in America. There's a whole lot of pain, strife, and division in America, in a place that should be a place of comfort. Now, I'm going to take this a little further. I wish I didn't have to say it, but I do. If ever there was a place that should be known as the village of comfort or the place of comfort where needs are met, people are helped, lives are made better, it should be the church. How many would agree with that? It should be the church. If there was a place of comfort, it should be the church where people can come and where they can find healing and find deliverance and their lives can be made better. But I'm going to tell you the truth. In many churches, they've kicked the Holy Spirit out. They've kicked the anointing out. They've kicked out the demonstration and the manifestation of the power of God out of the church. So then my question is this: how can you have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, if you kick the Holy Spirit out?
That's right. Yeah, amen.
We need the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need Jesus in the house.
Yes, yes.
What we need in America more than anything right now is Jesus in the house. We need the comfort and we need the power of the Holy Spirit in the house. More than Social Security, more than health insurance, more than padded pews, more than carpeted floors, more than even good singing or good preaching. We must have the presence of Jesus because we can have all of the above and not have His presence. It's one thing to have a reputation that we are a village of comfort, or the place where people can find rest or healing, deliverance, and freedom. It's another thing for it to be manifested. And that requires the presence of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, many people, you go into their home and they have a picture of Jesus hanging on the wall in their house. But we've got to have more than a picture. We've got to have His presence. We've got to have Jesus in the house. Because a picture of Jesus on the wall doesn't mean Jesus is in your house any more than a cross around your neck means that you have Jesus in your heart. We need Jesus in the house. Terrorism is on the rise. The threat of nuclear war hangs over our heads. The economy is in a global depression. The spirit of transgenderism, homosexuality, wokeism is invading churches. Hands are dripping. Our hands in America are dripping with the blood of over 70 million aborted babies. And sadly to say, a majority of the church is sleeping. We need a revival. Amen. We need Jesus in the house. Amen. Because when Jesus is in the house, He changes things. When Jesus is in the house, He changes people. He convicts of sin. He searches the heart. He cleanses the temple. Liars quit lying. Drinkers quit drinking. Fornicators quit fornicating. Smokers quit smoking. Thieves quit stealing. Gossipers quit gossiping. The lukewarm catch on fire. The sick get well. And the bound get free. That's why we need Jesus in the house. We gotta have Jesus in the house. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. Because when Jesus is in the house, there's something to talk about. Yeah. Woo, hallelujah. Did you see what happened this Sunday? Did you see what happened to so-and-so? Did you see what happened to Sister Cindy? Did you see what happened to Brother Ken? My God, this happened and that happened. My God, the power of the Lord hit them. The Holy Ghost hit them. They went to shouting. They went to praising God. They got a healing. They got a breakthrough. They got a miracle. Their lives were changed. Something happens when Jesus is in the house. Straightway, right away, immediately. Many were gathered together when they heard Jesus was in the house. Many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. Can you imagine now, right now, we would get in trouble if this happened here because the fire marshal would do something immediately. But can you see this place? Standing room only, no room to get into the doors. That was the situation. That's a full house. And so what happens is, and you have to understand this, people are still hungry for the presence of God. They're seeking His reality. They're seeking not religion or tradition, programs. They're looking for Jesus. They're looking for Jesus. And Jesus, when they came, He preached the word unto them. Now, He is the word. He's the Son of God. Why does He need to preach the word to them? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Jesus has to work with the laws of the kingdom. And the laws of the kingdom is we receive everything by faith. And so they came to Him, the Bible says in verse 3, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And I love that story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it shows us compassion in action. I want to thank God for these four men who brought this man to Jesus. Now, it's not written in the Bible here, in the scriptures, what their name is. But we've got every reason to believe that these four men somehow had been helped by Jesus themselves. Possibly it was the last time that Jesus came to Capernaum. It's very possible they had experienced His miracle working power in their own lives. So they knew His power to save, heal, and deliver and work miracles. And this is what I love about this story, because these four men who are not named are partners in this man's miracle. They're helpers in His miracle. Look at your neighbor and say, sometimes you need a little help. Now, they could have been like most people, only concerned about themselves. Hey, I got my miracle. Hallelujah. I'm out of there. You got to fend for yourself. But they were helpers. They wanted to help this man get to Jesus. And the Bible says they brought him to Jesus. And those of us who have experienced His presence and those of us who know of His power to save and heal and deliver should now be actively involved in reaching out to those who are still bound and oppressed, sick, afflicted, and lost, and bring them to Jesus. Amen. I like that old song. I know a man who can. I can't save your soul, but I know a man who can. I can't calm the storm in your life, but I know a man who can. I can't fix your broken marriage, but I know a man who can. I can't take cancer out of your body, but I know a man who can. I can't take the unnatural homosexual lesbian appetites away from you, but I know a man who can. I can't open your blind eyes or unstop your deaf ears, but I know a man who can. I wish you'd look at two or three people and say, I know a man who can. Hallelujah. Amen. I know a man who can. His name is what? Jesus. Say, Jesus can do it. He can do it. Whatever the situation is, he can do it. He can handle it. And verse 4 says, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press. I'm going to stop right there because there's some things that you're not going to get without a fight. There's some things you're not going to get if you're not willing to press for it. There's some habits, there's some addictions, there's some lusts of the flesh, there's some sicknesses, there's diseases, there's strongholds of the mind that aren't going to change unless you're willing to press, unless you're willing to fight for it. Yeah. You know the story of the woman with the issue of blood? She had to get in the press. She pressed her way to Jesus, the Bible says. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and she touched the hem of his garment. She had to put forth effort. She had to press through the pressure. Is it worth it to you? So the Bible says they uncovered the roof where he was. So this is speaking about something. I want you to see this. This is speaking about getting honest with God. Uncovering things. You cannot have the presence. You cannot have the power of Jesus in your life with unconfessed sin in your heart. Because sin separates us from the presence of God. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, that means uncovers them, and forsakes them, shall have mercy. It's talking about getting honest with God. It's talking about getting serious with God. It's talking about ripping away anything that stands between you and the presence of Jesus. Will you let your pride keep you from Jesus? Will you let the opinion of others, what somebody else might think or say about you, keep you away from Jesus? Will you let religion and tradition keep you away from Jesus? Will you let unforgiveness keep you away from Jesus? To get to Jesus, you've got to get in the press and you've got to uncover everything. Some people, it's just not worth that much. Oh, I want the presence of Jesus, but I just want him on my terms. Well, I'm sorry, it don't work that way. Don't work that way. Something the Bible says, something powerful, they let him down. They let him down where Jesus was. I'm going to tell you something. This is a powerful principle, Bible principle. They let him down. In the kingdom, the way up is down. Down in prayer. Down in death to self. Down in submission. Down in obedience. Down in humility. Example, Naaman the leper. How was he healed? He went down. He went down and down and down and down and down. 7 times. And then he came up whole. He went down. The Bible says in Luke 14:11, whosoever exalts himself will be abased, not down. But he that humbles himself, he that goes down, he shall be exalted. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself, get yourself down. Humble yourselves before the hand of Almighty God, that he may lift you up, that he may exalt you in due time. When Saul was little in his own eyes, God made him great and lifted him up. But when he became big in his own eyes, God put him down. 2 Kings 13:21, when the dead man was let down, he touched the anointing in the bones of Elisha and he revived. And he came to life. You know why? Because the anointing is for dead men. The anointing is for those who have crucified the flesh. The anointing is for those who have gone down in submission, in humility, in obedience. And they have put the flesh to the cross. Because the Bible says you've got to crucify the old man, that flesh. And you've got to mortify the deeds of the body. And these 4 men... they knew something. If we could just get this man to Jesus, the presence of Jesus will change his life. If we can get him to Jesus, in his presence, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. In His presence, broken hearts are mended. In His presence, marriages are healed. In His presence, minds are restored. In His presence, things that have held on for years are broken like a thread. In His presence, the dead are raised. In His presence, there's peace. In His presence, there's joy. There's faith. There's hope. There's love. And in His presence, there is life. Oh, we got to get Him in His presence.
Amen.
We got to have His presence. 1 Chronicles 16:27 said, glory and honor are in His presence. Strength and gladness are in His place. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Your right hand there's pleasures forevermore. Oh, the Bible says the wicked perish at the presence of our God. Oh, we need His presence.
Yeah.
I'm just like anybody else. I enjoy good singing. I enjoy talented music, musicians. I enjoy good preaching, good teaching. I enjoy all of those things, but nothing can take the place of His presence. Nothing can substitute for His presence. Now, what else can we learn from this story in the Bible? Well, we learn from the man on the cot, he had a will to be well. He wanted to be well. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what distance he came from, but they brought him a distance to get him to Jesus. And they brought him there on a cot. That means that he trusted his well-being. He trusted himself into the hands of these four individuals that were carrying him. So he had a will to be well. And that caused him to submit his life into the hands of these helpers. Everybody say again, say, sometimes you need a little help.
Sometimes you need a little help.
So he had a will to be well. You've got to will to be well. You've got to have a focus in life. You have to have something you're aiming at. You have to have a want to. Yeah. You got to want to be free. Yeah. You got to want to be better. You got to want to be strong. Yeah. You got to want to be happy. I'm going to tell you something. Don't even bother coming up to me for prayer if you don't want something.
Yeah, that's right.
Prayer has to have a focus.
Amen.
Somebody came up to R.W. Shambach one day. And he said, what is it you need, your sister? What is it you need from the Lord? Oh, just anything. Whatever He wants to give me. R.W. Shamrock laid that big old hand on her head. He said, God, send trials and tribulations. He took that hand off her head, jumped out from under that hand, said, no, 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 I didn't ask for trials. I don't want that. He said, you said anything. You've got to... You got to want something. If you come up here and I say, what do you need for the Lord? Oh, just whatever He wants to give you. You never know. God, send trials and persecution and tribulations. You got to want something. When Jesus said to the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, He said, what do you want? Jesus knew he was blind. He watched him make his way across the road. He watched him make his way to him. And he knew he was blind. But Jesus said, what do you want? Because you got to want something. You got to be able to express your desire. You got to be able to tell God, I got a focus. I've got an intent. I'm pressing for something. I'm hungry for something. I need something. And you got it. See, God can do anything, but He only moves where there's a need, where there's desire, and where there's faith. And faith can't operate without a focus. I can't even put my faith together with your faith if I don't know what you got faith for.
Yep, that's right.
So the man had a focus, and he had a will. I want to get well. And along with that will, along with that desire, along with that focus, you also have to see something. You have to see yourself delivered.
Yeah.
You have to see yourself up off of that mat.
Right.
Running up and down the road.
That's right.
Woo! Glory to God. You've got to see yourself clean and sober. You've got to see yourself delivered and free from every habit and addiction. You've got to see yourself without sickness in your body. You've got to see yourself happy and smiling and enjoy life. You've got to see yourself walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And you've got to see yourself enjoying divine prosperity. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got to see yourself. You got to see yourself. Before the prodigal son ever left the pig pen, he stood up on the inside. He had already made the journey in his mind. He saw himself back at the father's house. He already in his mind, he had met the father and asked his forgiveness before he ever took a step. And this is what the Bible says. It says, I will arise. This is what he said. I will arise. I will go home. I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I am no longer. See, he played the whole thing out in his mind before he ever took a step. You've got to see yourself. Stand up in your mind. Stand up in your thinking. Stand up out of depressed thinking. Stand up in your faith. When all of these ingredients came together, Jesus looked at this man and he said to this man, take up thy bed and go to thy house. By the power of the word and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are taking control of the thing that has held you and the thing that has pushed you around, the thing that has carried you around, the thing that has dominated you. You are taking hold of it and now you're going to carry it and you're going to take charge of it. And by the presence of Jesus and his words, this man became the master of that which had held him. Oh, that's why we need his presence. I need his presence so I can master the things that have been pushing me around. I need his presence so I can quit having to be carried around by everybody else. I appreciate you. I appreciate your help. But once they got into Jesus, the man could walk. We're not supposed to have to carry you all your life. You're not supposed to have to be carried all your life. It's not supposed to be my faith that carries you all your life. I'm not supposed to be the one that has to pray for you every time you need prayer. You're supposed to be able to pray for yourself. You're supposed to be able to hook up with Jesus for yourself. You're supposed to be able to make that divine connection for yourself. And if I'm a preacher worth my soul, I'm going to teach you how to make that connection. I don't want to teach you how to depend on me all the time. I want to teach you how to depend on him because he's an ever-present help in every time of need. 24/7, you can call on him and the line is never busy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, you need Jesus. Say, what you need is Jesus. Say, I'm going to help you, but you need Jesus. Oh, yes. By the presence of Jesus, this man became a master of that which had mastered him. So can you. And I don't know what you might need today. But I know this. Well, I know who you need. And that's Jesus. I know who you need. And I know this. In his presence, every need is supplied. In his presence is fullness of joy. And his right hand are pleasures forevermore. In his presence, there's a song that says, Jesus, your presence makes us whole. There's healing in his presence. There's deliverance in his presence. There's peace in his presence. There's joy in his presence. There's miracles in his presence. There's breakthrough in his presence. There's reassurance in his presence. There's belonging in his presence. There's identity in his presence. We need his presence. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are many people in the Bible who would have died or at the least remained sick or their family members would have never been raised if they hadn't came to where Jesus was. Case in point, Jairus. His daughter was 12 years old. She was sick. She was dying. She actually died. But Jairus came to where Jesus was, so Jesus would go to where Jairus needed him. The woman with the issue of blood came to where Jesus was. Multitudes of people came to where Jesus was. And because they made the effort to come to where Jesus was, they received what they needed from him in his presence. And if they hadn't put forth that effort to come to where he was, they would have died. They would have gone on being possessed or at the least oppressed by the devil in some way, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, financially, whatever. But because they made the effort to go to where Jesus was, they received what they had need of from Jesus. And it's amazing to me that these people, some of them probably made long journeys. I remember the one woman, the Syrophoenician woman, who finally made it to Jesus, and then the disciples said, get rid of her. She's crying after us. And then Jesus said, woman, I'm not sent to you. You're a dog. You belong to the Samaritans. I'm not sent to them. I'm coming to them, but not right now. That's a different dispensation. You belong to that dog nature. And she says, that's true. I understand this. But even the children, the dogs under the children's table, they get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Jesus said, woman, great is your faith, and go your way, and the devil is gone out of your daughter. Would the devil have gone out of her daughter if she didn't come to where Jesus was?
No.
Would Jairus' daughter have been raised from the dead if he hadn't come to Jesus? No. Would the woman with the issue of blood have lived had she not come to Jesus?
No.
It's amazing to me the journey. This man is with a palsy. We don't know how far he came. But would he have been healed if he hadn't come to Jesus? No. And these individuals in the Bible, some of them made great journeys to get to where Jesus was. But sometimes we can't even get people to move from the seat to the front of the building to get what they need from Jesus. Oh, he knows where I'm at. He knows what I need. He does. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, Jesus seeing their faith. How can you see faith? It's invisible. It's a spiritual force. You see it in the actions. He looked at those four men carrying that man. And he looked at that man on the cot, holding on while they're carrying him. And he said, this is faith. Faith is rewarded. And he said to the man on the cot, rise up, be healed. Would you stand? I don't know what we need today, but I know what the greatest need of all across America, in every home, in every family, in every church, it's the presence of Jesus. His presence. There's healing in his presence. There's joy in his presence. There's peace in his presence. There's deliverance in his presence. There's miracles in his presence. There's breakthrough in his presence. There's restoration in his presence. Whatever you need from the Lord today, it's in his presence. Now I'm going to ask you right now, wherever you are, I'm going to ask you, if you need something from the Lord, I want you to come to the front of this building. If you need something from the Lord, say, Pastor, I've got a need in my life. That's what you're doing, but you're not saying it to me, really. You're saying it to him. You're saying it to him. You're not just acknowledging a need. You're acknowledging that he is the one that can meet the need.
That's right.
Yes. He's the only one. We thank God for doctors, but doctors aren't healers. We thank God for lawyers, but lawyers can't fix them. They can't fix us. We thank God for all the people that work to help people, to help get over their anger problems and anger issues and all these things. But it really is not going to fix you if you've got an attitude, a spirit and an unforgiveness in your heart. You need Jesus.
That's right.
He heals us mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, whatever we need from the Lord. It's in His presence. So I want you to lift your hands to the Lord today. Hallelujah. Like I said, you're not coming to me. You're coming to Him. He's the healer. He's the miracle worker. He's the deliverer. Everybody, if you're not up here, would you please pray with us, agree with us today that the presence of Jesus will touch each one. That the Amashando Burakaranda Ramasanda. Lord, you know what is needed today. You know, Lord, we ask you to touch right now in the name of Jesus. Meet the need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Show up big in her life today, God. Let your power be manifested today. We come to Jesus. You're the healer. You're the miracle worker. You're the great deliverer. Lord, all things are possible unto you today. In the mighty name of Jesus, in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus, we thank you that the miracle, Lord, is done in the name of Jesus. It's not by our might or power. It's by your spirit, Lord. It's by your power, Lord. It's you that we need, Jesus. It's your presence that we need, Lord. Let your miracle power flow through his life today, Lord. Meet every need right now in Jesus' name. Meet the need not by our might or power, by your spirit, almighty God. Touch right now, Lord. Let your spirit flow through her, Lord, and meet this need, Lord, because we present it to you. Because we acknowledge, Lord, that you're the one that we need. We acknowledge that you're the way maker. You're the miracle worker, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you that you are on the throne to work miracles today. We believe we receive right now. In the name of Jesus, sickness, infirmity, we bind, we rebuke it, Lord. We decree, declare your healing virtue, Lord. Let your miracle life, let your presence, Lord, flow, O Rasha, like a mighty river, Lord Jesus. It's your spirit, Lord, that we need. It's your miracle life. It's the presence of Jesus that heals us and makes us whole. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God of wonders and signs. And you never change and you never lose any power, Lord. We thank you for doing the work right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the miracle work, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hoshanda, mandala masanda, idini oshilabarabasa, that your kingdom come and your will be done right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, I thank you for the anointing, Lord. Your presence, Lord, makes the difference today in Eli's life today. Let it flow like a mighty river, Lord. Holy Spirit, touch, Lord. Flow, mighty God, by your mighty power, Lord. And meet the need of his life today. Lord, you are the God of miracles, wonders, and signs. And you never change, Lord. You never change. Jesus is on the throne. Jesus is on the throne. Come on, just reach your hands this way and praise him. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Lord, we thank you. We agree. We agree with Sister Kathy right now, Lord, that your mighty power, Lord, the presence of Jesus comes. And the presence of Jesus flows. And the presence of Jesus manifests. Right now, Lord, in her life, Lord, let miracles break forth, Lord. Oh, you're the God who heals. You're the God who saves. You're the God who delivers. You're the God who works wonders and signs, Lord. And you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing. We praise you, oh God, for the work that you're doing, Lord. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful. Come on and help us just a little bit out there. Just help us be a helper for just a moment. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that each one that comes today, they receive what they need from you. In Jesus' name. Oh, you're the God of wonders. You're the God of signs. You're the God of miracles, Lord, and you're mine, all mine. I worship you today. I praise your mighty name, Lord. Oh, we hunger for you. We thirst for you, Lord. It's your presence that makes the difference, Lord. It's your presence that makes the difference. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. We worship you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for miracles, wonders, and signs. Thank you for the gifts of your Spirit, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that not one person leaves like they came. Lord, that if we came dragging our mat, Lord, we leave. We leave, Lord. If we came someone pulling us or carrying us in, we leave with that mat under our arms, Lord. We don't have to be carried all of our lives, Lord. We're not carried by drugs or carried by people or carried by therapists or carried by this or carried by that, Lord. You're the one that we need. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Hallelujah. We need Jesus in the house. I'm telling you. More than anything, we need Jesus in the house. He makes all the difference. When Jesus is in the house, blind eyes open. When Jesus is in the house, miracles happen. We should expect miracles to happen. We should expect lives to be changed. We should expect broken hearts to be mended. We should expect it. Jesus, you know what Jesus saw when he saw those four men? And he knew that they had come up the side of the roof, and he knew that they had torn the roof off. You know what he knew about them? They expected something. They expected something. Can we lift our hands to the Lord today and just thank him for his presence? Lord, thank you for your presence. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. It's in your presence, Lord, that there's joy and fullness of joy. Hallelujah. In your presence, Lord, burdens are lifted away. In your presence, Lord, heaviness goes. Confusion goes. Depression goes. Discouragement goes. In your presence, Lord, we are lifted up. We thank you, Jesus, for your presence today. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. How many are glad you came to church today? Hallelujah. Come on, give him a good time. You know, could you honestly go to somebody and tell them, hey, I want to invite you to come to our church. Jesus.